Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. I want us to think this morning on this topic of brotherly love. You know, I know you are aware, just as I am, that the word love in the English language is used very widely. It can be used to express the deepest of emotions that we have, or the deepest of service, unselfish service to others. And also something like, I love lizards, like our neighbor wrote to us in a letter. In the New Testament, there are three different words for love, from what I understand. We've spoken in the past from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 of a love that is from the Greek word agape. And it's a love that is unselfish in what it does. It acts in the best interest of the other person, even when it is not comfortable or it's not the natural inclination or it's not easy. This, would, of course, would be the love that God manifested in the giving of His Son, and not because it was not His natural inclination, but it was unselfishly in our best interest. It's the love that we're commanded to have for all men, even our enemies. We've talked a lot in the past about loving God and loving truth, loving our brothers and sisters, even enough that that would bring us to do something which is difficult. That is, for example, to approach a brother or a sister about sin in love for their soul and concern for their eternal destiny. That's one aspect of love, of course. And we would be way out of balance on love if that's all we ever talked about. Or even worse, if that's all we were concerned about. I want us to think this morning about brotherly love, and that is from this word phileo. There's, as I said, three words, as I understand, agape, phileo, and storge, if that's the correct pronunciation. One is the unselfish love, agape, 1 Corinthians 13, used widely in the Bible. Another is phileo, brotherly love, not used quite as frequently. And then this other one, storge, which is translated in Romans 12:10 as kindly affectionate. I've been told or read that that's a family love, a familial love, different than a brotherly love. But Paul joins the two together in Romans 12:10, where he says, be kindly affectionate in brotherly love. There's two words for love there. Kindly affectionate in brotherly love. The storge and the phileo. The family love and this brotherly love. We'll talk more about Romans 12:10 this morning, but the love that we want to discuss is phileo, brotherly love. Thinking of what this word means, Vine, W.E. Vine, says that the word represents tender affection. Thayer, in his definitions, says that phileo love is the love of brethren. It's loving like a brother, loving one's, in a more general sense, even loving one's fellow countrymen. So you might think of phileo in the sense of Americans loving Americans. That word could be used to describe that. But of course, in the Bible, it's Christians loving Christians. It's a love that is based in admiration or veneration, which I had to look up, which means great respect, and esteem. Also, he has the idea to be kindly disposed to one, to wish one well. I want us to think about how Christians are members of one body. We, you and I, are Christians as members of one body. And in fact, as being members of one body, Paul says that we're members of one another. That's kind of an interesting thought. Romans 12 and verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Well, we'll talk about that too more in a minute, but as members of each other, we have a special interest in each other, an affection for and a liking for each other. Arndt and Gingrich, in their commentary, or rather their lexicon, say that brotherly love involves having a special interest in someone or something. and frequently with a focus on close association. To have affection for, to like, to consider someone a friend. Keeping these definitions in mind, I want us to go through some thoughts now by comparing a physical family with the family of God, the church of God, and also comparing the physical body with the church of God. First, I want us to think about the fact that brotherly love is brotherly love. That is, it's a love of brothers and sisters. As far as myself, I can speak for myself. I know not your family, but I have two brothers and I have one sister. Spiritual things aside, not considered, we have a natural, fleshly, brotherly love between us. It's a natural love that involves an endearment and a concern for each other. We have much in common, but the one thing that makes the four of us brothers and sister is that we have the same mother and father. We have the same parents. And brethren, we are in the family of God, brothers and sisters here, because we have a common Father and a common Savior. I know Jesus is the Savior of the whole world. That is, He's for the whole world. But many cannot say He is their Savior yet. But He's ours. He's our Savior. And that makes us brothers and sisters in Him. There is, therefore, to be a natural endearment and concern for each other because we are God's family. We're God's family. And even if you have grown up in a dysfunctional family, as they call it, and I'm convinced every family is dysfunctional in some way or another. We've all got our problems. You have an idea of what a family should be like. Well, secondly, thinking back to my fleshly brothers and sisters, not only do we have the same mother and father, but we have many things in common because of that. We grew up in the same houses, some longer in one house than the other. We ate the same food. We sat at the same kitchen table three times a day. It was almost inviolable to think of not being at the kitchen table when it was breakfast, lunch, or dinner time. We went to many of the same schools, same school teachers in some cases. We even shared the same vehicles. The old Ford Pinto that started with the oldest and kept getting driven by all of us. We worshiped together growing up. We played with the same cousins. We sometimes had the same friends. We chopped weeds together. We stomped cotton together in cotton trailers. And recently, this is what's drawn us closer lately, but we've shared in the same concerns and the same hurts and tears as our mother and father have entered into the difficult days and passed through those of old age and cancer. But there are other things we do not have in common. We do have different interests, different experiences, even with our parents. But regardless of those differences, we have a brother-sister relationship because of common experiences and common concerns that we've had. I want you to think of Jude 1 and verse 3. Jude said, I was going to write to you concerning the common faith. The common faith. It's also called by Peter as a like precious faith. Brethren, we as brothers and sisters in Christ have common experiences and concerns. I know we have very different interests physically, varying concerns in our work or our play or retirement, but spiritually, our experiences, our difficulties, our challenges, our concerns, they are common. They're common because there's one Savior, one way to be saved and one way to heaven. And so this ties us together as brothers and sisters. So brotherly love is, I want this to get the point, brotherly love is not dependent on you and me having the same hobbies and the same physical backgrounds and experiences. That has absolutely nothing to do with brotherly love. You and I can have brotherly love that we're going to talk about without those because of our common spiritual interest. Sometimes we say, and I think rightly so, well, I really can't relate to to what you're going through right now. And we say that because we haven't personally gone through exactly the same thing. But when you boil many of our trials down, yours and mine, we can relate to them because they have something very much in common. That spiritual nature of the battle that we're in, we have that in common. Now on the physical side, instead of thinking of our physical families, let's think of the human body. When we think of the human body, physical body, I often think of my hands and my feet, but our hands and our feet have no mind of their own. They share this same mind. And likewise, Christians share or to have one mind or be of the same mind. In Romans 12 and 16, Paul said, be of the same mind one toward another. Why is that? Because we're all to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. For example, Philippians chapter 2. Then in Romans 12 and verse 5, we read that we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We refer to that idea. We're individually members of one another. And then we'll turn to some scriptures in a minute. But in 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. So when we think of the body and mutual care, you know that your hand cares for your foot. Your mind tells your hand to care for your foot when your foot's hurt. We have the same mind, and then these members had mutual care one for another. And that's the way it is, Paul says, to be in the body of Christ. We're individually members of one another, and we should have the same care one for another. And this also speaks to our members being interdependent. And we can't even begin to fathom the interdependency or explain it within our body. We might think of the interdependency of the finger to the hand and the wrist, but can you explain all the mysteries and the deep things of the body inside? Each member is dependent upon the other, interdependent. And so we could say too, in the body of Christ, we are dependent on one another. We are needful of one another. And all this, I want to make some points before we get into the core of the lesson. I timed this lesson and it's not supposed to be as long as usual. I'm really trying. All of this is to make some points about brotherly love and its definition. Its distinction from agape love, which is agape being unselfish love, that unselfish action in the best interest of another. Brotherly love is a love that's based upon our spiritual relationship with our Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. To think of Chris's diagram on the Monday night study. Remember? With our relationship to the Father and then our relationship to each other. We are each His children, and thus you and I are brother and sister in the family of God. Secondly, this is kind of a summary of this. Brotherly love is a love that shares common experiences and concerns and difficulties and hopes. And thirdly, when we compare to the human body, brotherly love is a love that is based on members having the same mind, having mutual care for one another, and being interdependent, depending upon each other. Can we not say that brotherly love then involves closeness and friendship and endearment even? It has been said somewhere, and it's true, I believe. We're commanded to have love for our enemies. Matthew 5:44, Jesus talked about that. We're commanded to love our enemies. But you will not find a command to brotherly love your enemy. There's a reason for that. You can't brotherly love an enemy. It's an oxymoron. Because brotherly love has within it this idea of a relationship and a commonality and interdependence and mutual care and the same mind. Does that degrade the idea of loving your enemy? Not at all. Love your enemy, Matthew 5 and verse 44. But be close or endeared to them or close friends with them. How? How? But what about brethren? Well, love them, agape love them? Yes, commanded. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. John 13:35. Jesus said there. Have brotherly love for them? Yes, commanded again. We'll see. We have a common Father, Savior, a common faith, similar trials and hopes. We have the same mind, mutual care, and dependence upon another. I've heard the idea, whether believed or practiced, I don't know. But the idea is this. We're supposed to love each other, yes. But to like each other, well, that may not be entirely necessary. Brethren, that's not right. I'm telling you this morning, if I understand this, we're not just supposed to love each other acting unselfish. We need to learn to like each other. We're supposed to like each other. That's the idea behind brotherly love. How can we like each other if we're so different in our backgrounds and our physical interests, our physical challenges even? Well, again, it's because of our relationship in Christ. We have a common Father and Savior. We have a common faith and hope. We have the same mind, mutual care for one another. We depend on each other. That's why you can walk into a congregation visiting somewhere. And when people are spiritually minded and you are spiritually minded, there is no problem having any conversation whatsoever. That's why. It's because of brotherly love. It's because of what we have in common. I want us then to think on some scriptures here and read Romans chapter 12, beginning in Romans 12 and verse 10. So we'll just go through some verses here that just speak of brotherly love. There's not many. Brotherly love, Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Paul said, be kindly affectionate. That's storge, family love. But be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. I want us to note, be kindly affectionate is part of brotherly love. He says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. He wants us to, this is connected with the idea of brotherly love. And also this idea of giving preference to one another. I think we see a similar thought in Philippians 2 in just a moment. But turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter 1 and 22. Peter says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. The thing I want to get out of this verse is this, fervent. The love, the brotherly love we're to have is to be a fervent love. That means, and if you'll get the bulletin this morning, it talks about that more, but it's supposed to be hot, boiling, not cold and formal. It's a love that's fervent, brotherly love. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, continuing these ideas. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, or as some say, humble. And so here's these ideas of compassion that is associated with brotherly love, compassion, and also tender-heartedness, and being courteous and humble. I think the idea is humble-minded from what I've understood about the word there. But that's associated with brotherly love, these words. And we're going to leave these key words up on the left side as we go through the lesson. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 7 through 8, you'll recall that Peter is telling us that we need to give all diligence to add what we call the graces of the Christian. But in verse 7, he says, add to your godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be, or if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to get out of this the idea that brotherly love is to abound. In other words, brotherly love is not, I just got a little and that's enough, but we're to be adding to it and we're to be abounding in it. We're to give effort to abound in brotherly love. In Philippians chapter 2, this passage does not use the word brotherly love, but fits with the ideas. So I want us to think of Philippians 2 verses 1 through 4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfishness, ambition, or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. The word I want us to get out of this is esteeming our brethren. That means you hold your brother and sister in high regard. This would be the opposite of despising a brother or sister, that is, looking down upon them. You esteem them highly. Titus chapter 3 and verse 15, the word for brotherly love is used here in an interesting way. But in Titus 3 and 15, Paul writes to Titus, all who are with me greet you. And then he says, greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. The word greet there is brotherly love. Now that's interesting. Greet those who love us in the faith. The brotherly love involves greeting. And then Hebrews 13 and verse 1. Hebrews 13 and verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. And then I want to bring up these three other thoughts that we've already had in the previous slide. And that is same mind, mutual care, and interdependence. These things are part of brotherly love. These are attributes of brotherly love. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9, the scripture's not on the slide, but I find it interesting that Paul said, but concerning brotherly love, and that is that word, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Paul says that we're taught by God to love one another, and he doesn't need to write him about brotherly love. And I don't know what all he has in mind, but we are taught how to love. And that's the purpose of this lesson this morning, is teaching myself and you about brotherly love. Let's continue then in the main part of the lesson this morning. And that is, I want us to think about how brotherly love shows itself. There's four areas I want to look at this morning where brotherly love should show itself. You and I may say we have brotherly love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, but how would I show it? You can say you have it, but if you never express it in some way, then I would ask, does it really have any fruit? And more to the point, does it have any fruit among your brothers and sisters whom you say you have brotherly love for? I'm thinking of a fruit tree, like a fig tree. It possesses within it the design and ability by God to produce figs, but it produces none, let's say. It is unfruitful. And so in some sense, in talking about how brotherly love shows itself, how we show brotherly love, we're talking about the fruits of brotherly love. First of all, I believe brotherly love shows itself in appreciation and goodwill being expressed for and to our brothers and sisters. We've looked at the verses that use the word brotherly love, but now let's look at it in practice. In Philippians chapter 1, in Philippians 1 and verses 3 through 10, we'll not read all of it, but here the Apostle Paul demonstrates for us brotherly love in what he says. He says in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And he goes on speaking so highly of the Philippians. Paul is expressing to his Father, through prayer, he says, his thanksgiving, his appreciation for Christians in Philippi. But he's also, in his letter to the church in Philippi, expressing his appreciation for them. They mean a lot to Paul, and he says so. This is an example of brotherly love. And if you look at Paul's letters, some of them he tears right into what needs to be said, but most of them he starts with some type of expression like this, many of them. And he ends in the same way. If we turn the page or two to Philippians chapter 2 and verses 25 through 30, Paul writes this, "I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick of almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me." We saw the word esteem already associated with brotherly love. And here Paul, by example, is showing us an example. He says to the church in Philippi, "You esteem this man for his work's sake." Paul is expressing appreciation and esteem himself for such a worker in the Lord. And by the way, if you ever think it's strange that you're concerned that someone's concerned about you, it sounds like that's Epaphroditus' situation. He's concerned about someone being concerned about him. I don't know how many levels deep that can go. But anyway, I want us to see the esteem. He encourages others to receive and esteem those who are in the Lord. And then also in expressing appreciation in this letter, in Ephesians or in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10 and also in 14, we see that Paul expresses his appreciation to the church in Philippi for their sharing with him. He says, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Verse 14, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." I want you to see that brotherly love expresses appreciation for brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul is doing that. And I also have up here that it expresses goodwill in 3 John 2. In 3 John 2, goodwill, the idea of well-wishing or wishing someone the best. John writes, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." That should be our attitude toward our brothers and sisters. That kind of goodwill and well-wishing toward others. We might ask ourselves, how can we here express appreciation and goodwill for our brothers and sisters? First, our attitude will be to esteem and admire one another for faith and work and love that they have. We will tell one another that we appreciate each other's faith, each other's example and courage and kindness. We'll thank them for their help and their encouragement. We'll tell our brothers and sisters that we pray and hope for their good health, that their soul will prosper like John did in 3 John 2. We will extend common kindness and courtesy and forgiveness to each other. So I think of these things. Brotherly love expresses appreciation and goodwill. But brotherly love also expresses concern and care. First of all, just the idea of concern. We saw that in the case of Epaphroditus. But Paul speaks of his great concern in 2 Corinthians 11 and 28. He says, "Besides the other things that I've endured for the sake of the gospel," he says, "besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." And as if all these other perils weren't enough, Paul says, "The thing that comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." We might think about how love moves us to pray for our brothers and sisters. Maybe pray for a long time and often. But I think brotherly love and brotherly care and concern actually puts a little bit of weight on you. I think Paul, I'm not saying Paul worried and had ulcers, and he's commending, recommending that. But it's not unusual, and it seems it would be right if you were a little weighted with concern for your brother and sister. That's what Paul was for the churches. He had that constant. He said, my deep concern. But let's go to another one here, and that is the idea of sympathy and empathy. Sympathy is having feelings of pity and sorrow for someone else's misfortune. Empathy is the ability to understand and share those feelings of another. The Bible and the New Testament speaks a lot about brothers and sisters having empathy and expressing sympathy for one another. In Romans 12 and verse 15, Paul said, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." And then in 1 Corinthians 12 and verses 25 and 26, he says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Here's that picture again of having the same care or concern for one another. Despise one another or think little of one. He talks about that in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, no way. We might picture a physical family and all the brothers and the sisters lifting up one while giving little attention to the other. That's a recipe for trouble. It's not good. But instead, in the body, the same care for one another. Oh yeah, I know one may need additional care at times, but not to the neglect of others. And so, here's a picture of brotherly love in the realm of concern and care. It's also with praying with one another. There's another fruit of care and concern, which is brotherly love. And that is, as an example, in James chapter 5 and verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There's a case of brotherly love. If you will pray for your brothers and sisters and their needs, you're expressing brotherly love through concern and care for them. I missed a verse in John 11 and verse 36 regarding having sympathy, and that is with Jesus and his friend Lazarus. And when Jesus saw, verse 33, the weeping and the Jews who had came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." That word for love in verse 36 is brotherly love. See how he loved him. What was it that the Jews saw that said, "See how he loved him"? It was Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, who has the power to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he did, who still wept over his brother, his friend, that is, who saw others weeping and groaning. That's brotherly love, that's sympathy. Providing for and sharing with is another example of brotherly love. Brotherly love will do this. Someone says, "Well, I have brotherly love, but no interest in providing or sharing for with brothers and sisters who are in need." John tells us that wouldn't be right. In 1 John 3:17 and 18, "Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Brotherly love shares with its brothers and with brothers and sisters. And we've been seeing that in the book of Acts. Brotherly love has care and concern and shows it through practicing hospitality. In Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13 and verse 2, following then what he said, "Let brotherly love continue," the writer then says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by So doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And I know hospitality has to do with the love of strangers, but Peter says in 1 Peter 4:9, be hospitable to one another. He has in mind Christians too. So we ought to be hospitable to all, but Peter talks about being hospitable to one another without grumbling. And then, of course, restoring the fallen in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. This is an act of brotherly love. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And he goes on and says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, how can we here express care and concern for our brothers and sisters? We can pray for one another, and we can pray together for one another. Notes, cards, calls, and in this day, I suppose texts and emails of care and concern. We can help one another physically with things we may be lacking, and we can help one another bear a spiritual burden. We can listen, pray for them, follow up to see how they're doing. A kind deed, a meal when sick. When we practice hospitality, it allows us to get closer to each other. It gets us more into each other's lives and difficulties. It allows us in that setting to open up and share things that we might not otherwise share with each other. Things that we should share to be able to help one another with. We can share our difficulties and our joys. And so brotherly love practices care and concern. Thirdly, we demonstrate brotherly love by considering and encouraging our brothers and sisters. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 24 and 25, the writer says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Here's a picture of consideration of our brothers and sisters. If we consider one another, then we'll want to stir them up to love and good works and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. In Romans chapter 14 and verses 14 through 19, this chapter speaks to matters of liberties, matters of which it's okay or it's okay to do or not do a thing. Those are the kind of things that are in Romans 14. And regarding those, someone may have a problem with something that is okay in God's eyes. But here's what he says. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. And so in matters of liberties, love, and this is agape here, I believe, but love, and there's brotherly love here. Brotherly love would move. This is my brother. He says, this is your brother. He goes on, where does he talk about that? Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, this is your brother. This is your brother or your sister. You're not walking in love if you offend them with this. Well, Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, we talked about him this morning, Barnabas. And you remember, his name was not Barnabas, his name was Joseph. But the apostles named him Barnabas because that's translated son of encouragement or son of consolation. How would you like to have such a reputation that someone rename you that way? Son of encouragement or son of consolation. And he did just that when the church sent him from Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem sent him to Antioch. He went there, and the Bible says in Acts 11:23, he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. These are examples here of considering and encouraging, and these are acts of brotherly love. How can you and I express our consideration and encouragement for each other? Well, we can give importance to our assembling together. We saw that in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, when we come together on Sunday. Presently, we're coming together on Monday also. We come together on Wednesdays, on Sunday evenings, once a month. We can also consider and encourage our brothers and sisters by not doing that which would cause our brother or sister to stumble in a matter of liberty. That is ours to give. That is our gift of love to them, an act of love for our brother. And also providing encouragement for one another. Comments in class, encourage, words of encouragement when we're here and when we're not here. Words that say, you can do it, hang in there. Your interest in spiritual things, really, that really encourages me. You know what? I know you could be somewhere else this morning. I know you could be somewhere else this evening. I know that you've put this ahead of other things. And you know what? That encourages me. And that speaks so highly. I esteem you for that. Are you trying to butter up people? No. It's not what Paul was doing when he wrote those things. It's honestly what he thought. We say those things because we really believe them about one another. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Affection, finally. We demonstrate brotherly love by expressing affection for our brothers and sisters. Well, there was first the warmth of family affection. We saw that in Romans 12 and verse 10, where Paul had written, be kindly affectionate to one another in with brotherly love. But let's look at what Paul writes in other places, such as 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 19 and 20. He says, the churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And he would give similar instruction in Romans 16 and verse 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. This is a warm greeting, obviously. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 4, listen to Paul's heart here. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Listen to the endearment and the warmth of what he writes to Timothy. That's the warmth of a brother and a sister in Christ, brothers or sisters. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 15, Acts 28 and verse 15, this one always gets me to think of what this must have been like for Paul as he journeyed to Rome. And he wasn't just with a bunch of buddies on that ship, right? And he knows where they're taking him. And they land and there, and in verse 13, we're circled around and reach Regium. And after one day, the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren. And were invited to stay with them 7 days. There's that hospitality, the brotherly love. I suppose he's never met these people face to face, total strangers, but they have in common, they're children of God. And so we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the Three Inns. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Can you picture what that was like for the Apostle Paul to see his brethren coming down a Roman road, coming out to meet him and greet him? Talk about warmth greeting. And then this one. In Acts chapter 20 and verses 36 through 38, the tender and warm goodbyes Paul had with the elders from Ephesus. Paul exhorted them to be strong in the faith and to watch out because wolves were going to come in. And he said, I've given you example of how you ought to be. And then he said, as the scripture says, when he said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Put yourself there. Does that almost give you tears to be there? That's brotherly love. We don't have the custom of the holy kiss as the Oriental cultures did, but we do have the handshake, the hug, the pat on the back. We have ways that we show warm greeting. It should be practiced. We should be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. That's the command of Romans 12 and verse 10, affection. We ought to start now with that, if we haven't. So I think of these four areas of brotherly love: appreciation and goodwill, concern and care, considering and encouraging, and showing affection. We've not talked about two things I would have wanted to speak to, and that is, what if I don't have brotherly love? What do I do about it? What are some roadblocks to brotherly love? So I invite you to look at the bulletin this morning on the back side, and there's an article with some ideas there. And the other one is this: what are three qualities that our brotherly love ought to have according to the Apostle Peter? And that again is on the front page of the bulletin this morning. I invite you to read that and consider that along with this lesson this morning. But regarding what we have talked about, I want us to remember that brotherly love is a command. It's a love between brothers who have the same Father in heaven and a relationship with Him as His child through Jesus Christ, His Son. And we're thus brothers and sisters who make up the family of God. We have the same or common faith, love, and hope, the same spiritual interests, the same kind of spiritual challenges and trials and temptations. And we're members of the same one functioning body, the church that belongs to Christ. And thus we have an esteem, a care for, an affection toward, and a companionship, a dependency upon each other. Brotherly love expresses appreciation and goodwill toward each other. Brotherly love expresses and has concern and care for each other. Brotherly love considers and encourages each other. And brotherly love shows affection for each other. And so finally, add brotherly love, let brotherly love continue, and let brotherly love abound. I hope the lesson is helpful to you this morning as we consider this important topic in our life as a Christian before God and with our brothers and sisters. If you're not a Christian this morning, then this is an opportunity as we sing a song of invitation, that if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're willing to confess that before men and repent of your sins, that is, change your mind, that you're not going to live your way, but you're going to live the way God wants you to live, and then be baptized for remission of your sins this morning, and you can have the hope of eternal life in your heart forever, as long as you live faithful unto death. And if you're not living right, you've done those things, but you're not living right, this is an opportunity to make that right with the Lord as we stand and sing a song to encourage obedience.